Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning to you. It's a Tuesday. We survived to see another morning, and very soon the sun rising in all parts of the country, which is good. I know it goes in zones and in phases, like everything else in our lives these days. But we're glad to have you with us. If you're heading to work or if you're still awake, haven't yet gone to bed after your Monday, whatever the case is, we are a full service operation here and we're trying to spread some hope. I try. Sometimes it's easier than others. Sometimes it's all sunshine and roses, and many times it's not. But we know that we're encouraged when you have positives that you share with us, and I hope you feel the same way. Judging by your responses to some of the things that I put on social media, I think we all can celebrate when people we care about celebrate, and we also need to mourn when people that we love and we care about mourn. It's kind of about carrying the burdens that we have as human beings and how much easier it is to carry them when others help us. And so our goal tonight has been about spreading the positives and sharing the hope. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It's weird to even say it out loud, but it's true. The first 5 months of 2020 are now in the rearview mirror. And it seems like every time I look at social media, I see some comment about how 2020 is the worst and we'll never have another year like this. And could it get any worse? And then it does. And so there's a lot of people pointing to 2020. Well, we're only 5 months in. Now, that could mean we have another 7 months of misery. I suppose it could get worse. Every time I say it can't get worse, it usually does. So I try not to say that. There are 7 months, though, that could offer redemption for 2020. The year has the opportunity for redemption, and maybe we'll see that. And I know it's been challenging, and I don't know how long it takes our nation to recover from everything that's happened over the last 5 months, and we're not really through the worst of it yet. And so we're still wallowing in it and navigating it. And it's still so fresh and emotional and painful and frustrating and disturbing and devastating and all of those things, all those emotions that we're feeling. And yet with all the emotions and all the challenges and all the obstacles and all the anxiety and a lot of the pain, the fear, I still know there is hope out there. I believe that we can find those rays of light, and because that's what hope feels like to me a lot, is a ray of light shining, kind of penetrating into the darkness when I most need it. And so we're asking you on this edition of the show to share one positive, the best thing that's happened in your life in 2020, because we all have something. And what does it do? Well, it changes perspective, but also it encourages other people to read them. I have been reading your posts over the last several hours, and to hear or to see, I'm not hearing you, I'm seeing you, post about how your wife is now cancer-free when she was diagnosed with breast cancer in October, or your dad had a successful cancer surgery, or you got married, or you had a baby, a surprise baby, or you are married to a nurse who is still healthy and doing well despite the pandemic. For me, it was a small thing, and yet it meant so much. On Monday, I wrote my last rent check. it's a cool milestone. Not sure one I ever even anticipated, or I guess I thought about it for a long time and I planned and prepared and saved and hoped and prayed that it would happen. And now that it's actually a reality, I can appreciate it because of all the effort I put into it and because of how hard it was to get here. So writing that final rent check, knowing that the next check, I won't actually write a check for my mortgage, but I did write checks for my rent. I know that makes me old fashioned and so uncool. But I, the next time I pay the same amount of money, it will be toward a mortgage. And yes, it's something that, will be with me for years and years and years to come. But it's such a privilege to have because of how hard I've worked to get to this point. And, So I'm celebrating with you and your victories, whether big or small. You know, someone wrote to us on Facebook and said he had a chance to buy a car on his own, and what a huge milestone that represents for him. Some of you are pointing to sports. Others of you are going personal, maybe vacations or your grandchildren who are born. Really good to look and take stock, because as much as 2020 feels like a wash, it still could offer these moments to remember. I'll never forget buying a house in the middle of a pandemic, ever. My first little plot of land, my first little house, and all of it was happening in the middle of a crisis that resulted in me having to wear a mask while I signed my papers, right? I never thought that would happen. So it's good to share them. And I'm smiling and reading your posts and happy for you. And I feel like that will encourage us. So I hope that you'll check out our show Twitter, After Hours CBS Respond. Check out our show Twitter and the thread on the post. And then also many of you, I love this about you guys. You go on our Facebook page, you respond to our question, and then you read what other people write, and you like other people's posts. And in this case, I mean, one of our posts has 30 likes from others of you who are reading it and so happy for this man and his wife who have survived that battle with breast cancer. Other ones, Bob, 17 years sober on April 22nd. Dean, I found out I'm going to be a daddy again at 46. You know, just really amazing stuff. I retired, and all kinds of cool milestones and victories that we can celebrate together. And that encourages me, and I hope it encourages you, because sometimes it feels like encouragement is hard to find, especially over these last few days. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact the team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. A couple of sports stories to pass along or to update you on. And then I want you to hear from J.R. Smith. He's had an interesting couple of days himself. Major League Baseball owners are taking a cheap shot. Let's just be honest. This is a cheap shot. And while I think the Players Union has delivered its own cheap shots, it may turn out that baseball gets the last laugh. And by baseball, I mean the owners. You remember where we were 24 hours ago. Owners were, well, essentially dismissing outright the proposal from the union. 114 games. Prorated salaries, no pay cuts. We already agreed to prorated salaries. We're not taking any less money than this. And we want to play more games. In fact, 32 more games than what you're proposing. So we can make more money than what you're proposing. The owners have come back with their own response. And this time it's 50 games. In other words, Players Association, you don't want to take pay cuts? We'll cut your pay another way. We'll only pay you for 50 games. Now remember, players agreed in March they would only get paid for the games that were played. That's what the prorated part refers to. They agreed to prorated salaries as opposed to getting carte blanche, the, let's say, $2 million. I'm just arbitrary number. $2 million that a player is contracted to make in 2020. He's going to make only the money per game. And then, you know, times that out, the number of games they play. So this is the owner's way of paying the players less. If we have to pay you for all the games you play, well, then we're only going to play 50 games. And I don't know if you've seen the numbers or not, but the numbers break down this way. Under the 114-game proposal from the Players Association, again, the one we just talked about. So it was just presented on Sunday, and we were sitting in this very seat, or I was sitting in this very seat. You were sitting in your very seat. It's like a superstition. You have to listen to the show from the same seat. I'm probably the only one who thought that was funny. Okay, so players proposed a 114-game schedule on Sunday that would pay them 70% of their salaries. Okay, so 114 games is 70% of what they would normally play in a regular season. They're getting paid per game, yada, yada, yada. You get it. 50 games is just under 31% of the regular season. So the owners are saying, screw the 70%. We're going to pay you 31%. You want prorated salaries? Fine. We'll pay you for every last game you play, but we're not going to play very many. Like I said, it's a cheap shot. Here's another concern from the owners. Now, this is maybe an explanation for why they would want a shorter season that starts relatively quickly. I don't know if the players' union is going to buy it. But there is a concern that if there's a flare-up or a second outbreak, maybe not as serious, but if there are some increased numbers of COVID-19 cases in the fall, specifically within the communities of baseball, well, then they might end up seeing the postseason canceled. Okay, so just by virtue of the virus, not anything to do with the players, the owners, the fans in the stands, nothing. Just by virtue of a flare-up of the virus, if they find themselves in the same situation again where they can't keep going, the owners are worried that the postseason will get canceled. That's where they make a lot of their revenue. A good chunk of their revenue comes from the playoffs. So they're hoping a shorter season, maybe an earlier playoffs, at the very least not delayed past October. So that way, they still make not all their revenue, of course, because there are fewer games and there are no fans in the stands, at least to start. That's where they're losing money. But they want to be darn sure that they actually do have a postseason, because that's where the big revenue comes in. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. They've got a deadline. We know they do. They haven't shared it with us necessarily. But if you listen and kind of pay attention to the details and the dates that they're proposing, owners want to start in July. Players want to start by the end of June. They need to get their act together like yesterday in order to get this going. And it doesn't appear as though they're any closer. Now, the owners say they don't have to ask the players. They don't have to get the players' permission for the number of games. That's already been handed to the commissioner because of their agreement in March. I can imagine the players will have something to say about that. But it's a mess. And they're running out of time. I mean, cheap shot after cheap shot. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. J.R. Smith, a little bit of trouble, a little bit of hot water. And certainly trending over the last 24 hours for an incident in which he was accused of beating up a man. Actually, I shouldn't even say accused. He admitted to beating up a man who was vandalizing his truck in his neighborhood. And Pat McAfee, who's a host on CBS Sports Radio, of course, a former NFL punter, Pat McAfee got JR to explain what was happening with the man and his truck.
They want to peacefully protest 100%. We can do that all day. But once you get to vandalizing people's personal property that has nothing to do with nothing, like, and 100%, honestly, I'm the only black guy on my block. I'm the only black person on this corner. So for you to randomly just thinking you're doing something for the people, that one black person who was able to get out the situation and move into a nice neighborhood and do all of those things that we aspire to do, you broke that person's window without even knowing. So it's like you, people are consistently doing stuff when you don't even know what you're doing it for or why you're doing it. You, out of all the people, 100%. Now, granted, if he would have seen me and seen somebody outside the car or outside the house or whatever, do I think he would have broke it? Absolutely not. It was just a random act of stupidness, and I give him that. But that ass whooping was a random act of stupidness on my behalf.
Oh, heavens. Only JR could voice it like that. This man engaged in a random act of stupidness by breaking the window of his truck, and JR responds with, I engaged in a random act of stupidness by whooping his A double curvy roads. J.R. Smith on the Pat McAfee show, and you can hear it, Pat and his peanut gallery with him there on CBS Sports Radio. Now, they did, of course, talk about the violence, the looting, the rioting, and J.R. also had strong words, powerful words, I think, to say about what's happening, what's playing out in our country.
It's going so like out of what we've normally seen in a positive way.
Yes.
So it's like it's just complete vandalism. It's so many like people in Minneapolis are doing like really sit down, giving speeches, lectures, and trying to educate people on what is going on and try to figure out a solution, not vandalize people's property and add on to the chaos to where you give a person a reason to shoot you or do something harmful to you. This man was down there for 8 minutes and 46 seconds for no reason. Literally, being taken the life from him, calling for his dead mother. And then we go out here and quote unquote trying to represent his name in a good way and between tarnishing people's shops and like so many people have nothing to do with the situation. Like I was walking down Melrose, there's so many people from the Middle East and all these people who are immigrants who fought their way over here, who struggled to get out of their situation to come and try to provide and make a better life that we all strive for, are supposedly striving for. And we go out there and vandalize these people properly, breaking windows, stealing their stuff and all of like, I seen this guy, he put everything into his store. This man was 70 something years old. Fortunately he's got kids and grandkids and all that, but insurance and all that. Oh, insurance will take care of it. Insurance shouldn't have to take care of it.
Yeah.
It shouldn't. We should be able to lock arms and stand in front of somebody's store and be like, no, this is not right. This is what we're protesting against. Being able to do stuff like this is not right.
I love that from J.R. Smith, the longtime NBA player. You know, sometimes he was quirky, kind of crazy, the whole I don't wear a shirt thing. But calling for people to peacefully protest and recognizing the opportunities to peacefully protest and to listen and to be heard. And he also mentions the circumstances surrounding George Floyd's death, which was the catalyst for all of this. And yet it doesn't need to be vandalism. It tells the story of a man on his block that has lost everything and had nothing to do with this. And so I like the wisdom. I appreciate the words from J.R. Smith. And if you want to hear that whole interview, including why he committed a stupid act of whatever foolishness he said, you can check that out on CBSSportsRadio.com on the Pat McAfee show. What's the best thing to happen in your life in 2020? Because we can always find the positives on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
It's one of those songs that's really difficult to not shout out in the worst possible tune. If you can't carry a tune in a bucket, this is your song. So good morning to you on that note, if you're waking up on this Tuesday. Back to the one day at a time plan. That's the plan, Stan. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. What is the best thing to happen to you in 2020? And boy, I have really enjoyed reading your posts. They've encouraged me. So thank you for sharing that with me. And I love that most of them are personal. So some of you are going sports, which is fine. The Kansas City Chiefs had an incredible Super Bowl and it was really exciting and we'll never take that for granted again, will we? So that's awesome. But the ones that mean the most to me are the ones that are really personal. Bob posts on our Facebook page, my daughter has made it through her first chemo treatment. I made it through heart valve replacement. Yeah, those are incredible victories and answers to prayer. Sharon on Facebook, I work in a hospital, but to hear Journey's song, Don't Stop Believing, every time a COVID patient goes home or leaves ICU, lifts my spirits and gives me hope. By the way, hearing that song more and more every week, that's awesome. Ron says, watching my daughter's strength and perseverance take over after losing 3 grandparents in the last 8 months and her senior year of high school being ripped apart, now onto college, where she'll major in sports media. That's awesome. Let's see. Mark says the highlight of 2020 for him, a great weekend trip to New York City in February with my bride. It was a great getaway. Caught the Broadway show of Wicked. Oh, my goodness. I've seen Wicked twice. Phenomenal is the reason why it's been running consecutively almost for 20 years. Let's see. Chris has got married on Valentine's Day. That's awesome. And then Tim says, spending quality time with my 4-year-old. I didn't realize how hard I worked from sun up to sundown. Having the 2 months off helped me understand what I was missing. These are also, phenomenal blessings in the midst of what has been a really trying first 5 months of 2020. But there is still hope of redemption for this year. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. Floyd Mayweather gets a lot of negative publicity and takes a lot of flack and has been criticized rightfully for many of the decisions that he has made over the course of his life and his career. But I don't know if you know this, he also is paying for the funeral services of George Floyd. He didn't want to make it public, but the CEO of his promotional company made the comment in an interview on Monday. He says he'll probably get mad at me for saying it. But yes, Mayweather is definitely paying for the funeral. And he goes on to say that Floyd doesn't want to talk about it and won't talk about it publicly. But this is something that he's done pretty routinely over the past 20 years. So that's an awesome gesture for a family that's grieving and there's confusion, and anger and pain and sorrow. And here is someone who has the means stepping in and taking care of the funeral so that at least the family has that burden off of their shoulders. So that's an amazing gesture. Again, he deserves a lot of the criticism that he gets, but there's also generosity there with Floyd Mayweather. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. I really have appreciated some of the leaders in our sports world. And this is the world I'm buried in. Okay. So this is what I hear and read more than others, in other industries. Tony Dungy has had some really amazing things to say over the course of the last few days. Steven Jackson, of course, delivered an impassioned plea and it was very inspirational. And I like what Frank Reich, the coach of the Colts, had to say as he was doing a video conference call on Monday.
Injustice. Few things stir the human heart and soul like injustice. When we see it, feel it, experience it, it's heart-wrenching. It's not enough for a person who looks like me to say, I'm not racist. This kind of talk and thinking, it typically lends itself to a posture of neutrality, indifference, and passivity. It's easy to be silent and do nothing when it doesn't directly impact you. This attitude simply doesn't evoke any conviction about doing what is right and standing up for the inherent dignity and rights of all people, no matter the color of their skin. I stand firmly behind the Colts statement, and in particular, the phrase that says, we abhor racism. Racism is vile, deplorable, detestable. There's no form of it that is acceptable, and in no way can it be justified. Our Black community has bore the brunt of this injustice far too long. I believe that we all have a personal responsibility to speak up and to act in ways that build each other up, not tear each other down. I believe each one of us can make a difference if we're willing to grow personally and display the courage necessary for us to take steps of progress in this most important of issues.
Already appreciated Frank Reich as a leader inside his locker room with the Colts, and we see him in other positions where he's a leader around the NFL. But to hear those words and to recognize, too, that there are things that he doesn't understand and can't personally identify with, but it requires bravery and courage for each of us to take steps. And that's how change happens, is when all of us figure out ways that we can speak out and step out and listen and participate. And I loved his words. And there are many really powerful, inspirational words that you can find from inside the sports world. You don't have to look very far just to hear J.R. Smith and now Frank Reich, two opposite ends of the spectrum, and yet sharing a common theme and common ideas. You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS. Also on our Facebook page, I encourage you to read the posts of others over the last few hours who are sharing some of their positives and their bright moments of 2020. It's only 5 months old. There are still many months to go. It could be a great year. Or let's hope. Let's hope it gets better. Let's hope that there are some redeeming qualities about the next 7 months.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Donovan at the top. Drives to the left hand. Gobert rolls. Donovan will rise and fire and hit. Oh, you are filthy, young man. Donovan Mitchell. 16-2 run. Jazz by 14.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
From the Jazz Radio Network, it was a real positive season for the Utah Jazz. And then, of course, it was the Utah Jazz that started the shutdown and the eventual suspension of the NBA season. And we are still in that same hibernation. Of course, that Wednesday night that I don't know many of us will ever forget, but certainly not inside the sports industry, where Rudy Gobert tested positive, and just at that point, it was chaos in Oklahoma City. And we've kind of heard the stories about how the Jazz couldn't even find a hotel because hotels didn't want to take them. And now here we are almost 3 months later, if you can believe it. And we're still waiting, but Thursday is a big day for the NBA, because the Board of Governors is expected to vote on a framework, a plan for return. There are a variety of options out there, the top eight teams in each conference. So a straight 16 game, forget the rest of the regular season, go right to the postseason plan. Anywhere from 20 to 24 teams. So there have been 20, 22, 24 team format suggested, 24 being what the NHL is using. And then there's this idea that it would be more powerful to bring all 30 teams to Orlando and this show of unity where small market clubs get to participate as well. But I'm not sure all the players want to do that. So big day on Thursday when the Board of Governors will vote on the plan and the one that they think is the right way to bring back the NBA, presumably late July, early August. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's sponsored by Geico. Geico introduces the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. Earlier on the show, we shared my conversation with longtime NBA forward Thurl Bailey, who was in the building in Oklahoma City the night that the NBA shut down, March 11th. He does pre and post for the Jazz broadcast. And we did talk a little bit about that in the conversation and also about the plan he thinks is the right fit for the NBA in returning. We talked some about The Last Dance as well. And so all of that is available on our podcast, After Hours, AmyLawrence.com. But I thought we would replay part of the conversation where I asked him about his former coach, Jerry Sloan, the Hall of Famer who passed away about a week and a half ago. And so I started out by asking him his thoughts and his emotions when he heard of his coach's passing.
Well, I'm going to go back because when he came out and announced that he had the form of Alzheimer's and Lewy dementia, I think my emotions then were even stronger than actually when he passed. And I don't say that, you know, tongue in cheekly. I say it because I didn't know a lot about Lewy dementia and Alzheimer's, except for, you know, some people that I knew that had gone through it. But if you know Coach Sloan, if you know his history, you know, his aura, his legend, it's about toughness, right? It's about fighting every single night through whatever it jumps in front of you. And so that was devastating news to me because a little I did know about the disease, I knew that it kind of it ate people away, right? And it made them, their body kind of a shell, and you were kind of imprisoned in that. And I just did not, I hated to know that he was going to go through that. So I would visit him once or twice a month, and he'd have some really good days. In the last 3 or 4 months, he'd have some really good days. So, you know, part of me knew that it was going to get worse, and I think everybody knew that. And even though you try to prepare for what you feel like you know is coming, it's just hard to lose somebody like Coach Sloan. It's hard to know that he's not here anymore. So it was tough. You know, part of it for me was, okay, now he's not trapped in that body anymore.
Right.
And so that's the stand I took.
I didn't realize that you had spent time with him recently. What did those visits mean to you?
It meant a lot to me because I think he had some really good days where he remembered some things that the part of the journey we had back in the day. And even though he may have only stayed on that journey for 10, 12 seconds, and then, you know, we lose him again, and then he'd come back and he'd call my name and he'd talk about what kind of player I was. And I think each time it was a little different, right? And so all those meetings ended with, I love you, Coach. And so, you know, it was really good to be with him during that time as well, because I felt like not only did he need it, but I needed it as well, just as one of his former players. And the other guys would go visit him as well. John would come into town, Stockton and Carl and Carl Malone and other players that played for him and staff. And so, you know, it's as tough as it was, I think we felt better about it because it wasn't something that was suddenly for us. But he had some really good days, and we had some good memories before he didn't have any of those anymore.
Coach Sloan was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2009, and he spent 23 years of his coaching career with the Utah Jazz, which was an eternity at the time that he was doing that. And I remember seeing a crazy stat that talked about how, I think it was 245 coaching changes happened over the time that he was the head coach of Utah. What gave him staying power in Salt Lake City with the Jazz franchise?
Well, I think the staying power came within his resolve to give his all and do his best with the team that he had. And a lot of that comes with trust, right? The organization trusting in him, because that just doesn't happen anymore. This is an impatient league. And I mean, heck, even coaches who have won and had winning seasons are gone the next year.
Right.
So a lot of that is about the Millers, starting from Larry, trusting Coach Sloan and trusting the team to buy into what he was teaching us. And so those tough Jerry Sloan teams that were built from his personality made a mark in the league, in a small market, as people call it. So, you know, the organization had enough trust in him to say, okay, we need to get past, you know, we need to get to the playoffs. And Coach Sloan proved that he could do that. We need to get to the finals. We need to have a chance to win a ring. And he did that twice in a row, you know. Have it not been for Michael Jordan and those Bulls,
right?
And you probably would have had a couple, but trust goes with that. Just dedication to his job and knowing that every single day you give it all and good things are going to happen.
Thurl Bailey was a longtime forward in the NBA, played for Coach Jerry Sloan in Utah in the early part of his career for a lot of years. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. You mentioned the two trips to the finals, and the world kind of got reintroduced, or introduced as it were, depending on your perspective, to those trips by the Utah Jazz in the late 90s as part of the Last Dance. So it was kind of neat to see Coach Sloan on the sidelines in those series and to take that walk down memory lane. Did you have a chance to watch it and see him and remember those Utah Jazz teams?
Absolutely. And I wasn't on the Jazz for those 2 years. I had been traded, and I came back after that championship run that they had for a last year. But I still felt a part of it. I mean, they have a saying here, once a Jazz man, always a Jazz man, regardless awesome. Of wherever you go. And so I was in the stands. You know, my season was done wherever I was, and I was still a part of that Jazz family, and I would watch those games. And listen, I knew Michael well. I had to go against him in college. I actually showed him around when he came to visit NC State.
Wow.
He was trying to go to school. So, you know, that connection started early. But, listen, that Jazz, those two Jazz runs to the finals were about the Jazz not being fancy. It was about being tough because – anybody who ever followed the Jazz or whoever played against the Jazz knew what plays they were going to run. They knew it. Jerry would make a C with his hand, and that meant a pick and roll with Karl Malone and John Stockton. Didn't matter whether you knew it or not. You couldn't stop it. And so it was the best of fundamental basketball against the greatest player who ever played, and a team that a cast of characters that we saw in the Last Dance that just was able to be under another great coach and Phil Jackson, and so that was an amazing series. I think the Jazz really collected a lot of fans as well along the way, just by the way they played and the toughness they had from Jerry Sloan.
Really thoughtful, reflective remarks from longtime NBA forward and Jerry Sloan disciple, Thurl Bailey, who is part of the Jazz broadcast and was there in Oklahoma City when the NBA went into its indefinite suspension, but I wanted to talk to him because of his personal relationship with his former coach. And I didn't realize that he had spent time with him up until the point at which coach passed away, and that there were those moments where coach was lucid and where he could remember Thurl and would talk about his basketball career and where they could say, "I love you" to one another. I mean, that hearing it for the first time from Thurl was amazing, but every time I hear it now, it warms my heart so much. And there's more to that conversation in which Thurl is really good. I did not realize, I didn't put two and two together, that he played for Jimmy Valvano. I mean, can you imagine this guy, and I talked about it with Thurl, got to play for both Jimmy V, who is one of, you know, the toughest, most inspirational college basketball coaches and stories in the sports history. Certainly one of the epic upsets of all time. And then got to play for Jerry Sloan. And it was really cool to talk to him about the two and, you know, what he learned from the two. But also we looked at the right format, the perfect way. I guess there's really no perfect way, and he mentioned that. But the right way for the NBA to return. It was good stuff. So I invite you to check it out on our podcast. All of our interviews are separate on our podcast, and so it's easy to find them. After Hours, AmyLawrence.com. We always tweet the link to the podcast as soon as we're done with the show on weekday mornings, After Hours CBS, and it's posted right away on our Facebook page. It always cracks me up when we post it, and then people tweet or, like, in response or post, you know, a Facebook message that says, "Hey, where can I find your podcast?" or "How can I listen?" I mean, you're literally posting on the actual link. So, you know, right there, you got it. Just open it up. Thanks for all of your responses to our Twizzler Tuesday question. A little unconventional, but I love it. The best part of 2020, the best moment, the positives of 2020 for you. Some of them are simple, and yet I think the simple things are the ones that I appreciate the most right now. Others are of a greater magnitude. So here's one. Jonathan says, my best day is yet to come. I'm going to be married to the love of my life July 4th weekend. That's awesome, since a lot of people have actually postponed their weddings because of various limitations. And so congratulations, Jonathan. Brian, my mother had a heart attack and pneumonia at 86 years old in December. Now she is 87 and still alive. Amazing. I love those victories and those recoveries. Bill sends us a photo on Facebook of his first grandchild. and he's happy and he's the cutest little chunk. So thank you for sharing all of these with us. Bill says, I paid my car off. Mary on Facebook, I made 30 years of service after a 6-month job. A lot of you are so grateful for your jobs that are essential. And then other various family victories and family miracles. Sean says, I learned the value of family time. Steve's son was matched at NYU for his medical fellowship. Daughter received a master's degree at UPenn. I mean, none of this is what we anticipated. And yet you can find the positives and you can find those reasons to continue to hope, which, you know, I so appreciate that you shared those with us. So whether it's Twitter, whether it's Facebook, I know your responses will continue on throughout the day. That's usually how it happens as you're catching up or listening to the podcast. We've got a really cool conversation coming up on our Hump Show. John Walton, voice of the Washington Capitals, as the NHL gets ready to return. So we'll talk to you then. Have a great Tuesday. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.